Good morning.
Good morning.
Still morning. If we could turn to the book of Job. That's going to be on page 497 in the Chapel Bible, in the Old Testament section. And I would love to read the whole book for context, but that would take a few hours. I would encourage, if you have never read through the whole book in one sitting, I would encourage you to do it. It'd probably take 2 or 3 hours, depending on how quickly you read, but it's you get a little bit more from it when you get the context. So for the sake of today, we'll just read maybe chapter 1 and chapter 2. The book of Job, chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed or abstained from evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. The book of Job is such an interesting book in Scripture. Essentially, it's a long conversation between several men. It's written in the form of a poem. It's in the books of poetry. So it's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. We have these all these poetical books together, and it's also considered one of the wisdom books of Scripture, along with Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And so it's just a very interesting book in Scripture, and it's about a man who's not he's not in the line of Abraham. In terms of historically, he's probably sometime during the book of Genesis in that time period. Some say he's a contemporary with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Hard to give a specific date, but he's probably after the flood. Hard to give exact, though, but that's usually where people place him in terms of historically. we see this man goes through intense suffering, and none of it was because of anything he had necessarily done. And that's something that is very challenging, especially would be challenging to a Jewish person who had the Old Testament scriptures, because their system was very much blessing was based on how they lived spiritually. That if they were living for God and living a righteous life, they should expect wealth and physical blessings on the earth. And that wasn't necessarily true for Job, and a lot of times we'll see as you go through the book and you see the conversations that are had that there must be some sin in your life that God is doing this to you. And it's very challenging to have to stand and to have his friends who came to comfort him, talk to him in this way. But it's just an interesting book to see, especially the first two chapters. You see how he deals with suffering, how he deals with hardship. When the bad times come, whether it's his possessions or his family or himself, what his response is to God and what his response is. And it's a challenge to, it's very easy to talk about Job. It's very easy to criticize Job. It's very easy to criticize his friends. It's very easy to look at them in a negative way, but when we're in similar situations, when we face hardships, when we deal with difficulty, whatever the case is, how do I respond to it? Am I anything like Job? Am I able to say the things that he said and mean them like he did? So it's very easy to criticize him, and I don't want to look at him only in a negative way. But at the same time, this book is written for our learning. These things are written as our examples. They're types of us. And so we can draw lessons from these men in this book and from the text. And so we really need to, with careful consideration, to go through this book. And the intention is not to go verse by verse or anything like that. That would take a very long time. But to just sort of get overviews of the conversation and to see sort of where these men are coming from in their reasoning and in the way that they're approaching the situation and how they're, what their thoughts are of God, what their thoughts are of themselves, and how we can learn through suffering and how to trust the Lord through all of these things. So the very first verse gives us who Job is in terms of his character. That he is a perfect man, or a complete man. He was lacking in nothing. He was upright. He feared God. He abstained from evil. This isn't what he said of himself. This is what heaven's assessment was of Job. And you see that God later, when talking to Satan, he says these exact words. This is what God thought of Job. I wonder what if there was a book about me, what heaven's assessment would be. It wouldn't be like this. The Lord has a lot of work he has to do for me. I can't say that I'm perfect or complete and lacking nothing. I can't say any of these things. But this is what heaven's assessment was of Job. This is Job's character. This is fact. That he had this character. And then we see verses 2 and 3, we see what he has. He has 7 sons and 3 daughters. He has a lot of possessions. This man was greater than all the children of the East. He was very wealthy. He was blessed with a lot of physical blessings, earthly blessings. He had a lot of possessions. He had a lot of cattle and sheep. He had a lot of possessions. He had very many servants. He was very blessed. He was very wealthy. This is who Job is and what Job has. And then we see verses 4 and 5, we see a little bit about his sons, that the 7 sons, they each took a day of the week and they would throw a feast for their other siblings and invite their brothers and their sisters to come and feast every day. That's the amount that they had. They had so much abundance that they could feast every day of the week. When they would have these feasts, Job, he would rise up early and offer burnt offerings for each of his children, just in case during that time they had cursed God in their hearts. That he cared so much for his children. He was caring for their spiritual well-being. He feared God, and he cared for his children that they would also fear God. Some can say that in this, it's an indication that maybe there was some pride in his heart that he was only offering for his children. You don't read that he was offering for himself. We can maybe draw that conclusion, but I think also we can see that he cared about the spiritual well-being of his household. And I think that's a very godly trait to have, that he was in prayer. You could say he was in prayer for his children. He was offering sacrifices and prayer to God for his children. And I think that's very admirable. And he did this continually, that there was no stopping, that he was one who was constantly going before the Lord on behalf of his children. And then we see, as we go forward, we see there's some activity in heaven. There's a day when the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And so we see even throughout Scripture, we see even in Revelation that at some point Satan will be cast out of heaven, that he will no longer have access. But he has some access now to go and to go before God and to accuse God's people. And so we see Satan comes and he does that. And the name Satan itself, it means the adversary. So he's coming as one who is an enemy, one who is opposed to God and to God's people. And it's just interesting that the one who brings up Job is the Lord. The Lord presents Job to Satan. And say, how, that seems so terrible. Why, he's bringing it up. Why would you set him up for this terrible outcome? But you see that Satan is a tool of the Lord, that the Lord can use Satan to refine Job and to bring Job through difficult times. Because the Lord had something in mind. The Lord knew what he was doing. And so the Lord brings up this conversation. He says, have you considered my servant Job? Very interesting. It's almost like, I don't want to, not to be disrespectful in any way, but it's like a water cooler conversation that they're having in heaven. That, have you considered my servant Job? Have you ever seen Job? He's perfect. He's upright. He fears God. He abstains from evil. And Satan says, you've only blessed him. You've given him so much. You have a hedge about him on all sides. Of course he's going to follow you. You've been blessing him and blessing him, and he has all this abundance. Yeah, I bet if you took it away, he would curse you to your face. That adversary comes in, and he makes that claim. And the Lord, he says, he gives Satan liberty to touch everything that he has. Everything that he has is in your hands, but do not touch him. And it's interesting that whenever anything happens to us, whenever we feel like the enemy is coming against us, coming upon us, it's because the Lord allowed it to happen. He's in complete control, that Satan can't move against Job unless the Lord allowed it. And that's something that's encouraging, to know that when something is afflicting me, when something afflicts my family, when something afflicts what I own, what I have, when something touches me in this way, when the circumstances become very stressful, and it's because the Lord allowed it, that I can take that. And I can know that he is in control, that the one, that it wasn't just circumstances, but I know that God is doing something. And it's something that we can take hold of. And you see, Satan goes forth and he touches everything that Job has. And it, all at once, can you imagine, you lose every single piece of property you have. You lose all of, he loses all of his possessions, one after the other after the other. And it's every servant who's coming, it's as he's still speaking, another one comes and another one comes. And it seems sometimes in life that everything is just happening at once, and all the circumstances are just falling apart around you, and you feel so powerless. And I can't imagine what Job felt. You know, losing the property is bad enough. It's bad enough. And then his children, the only one who escapes is this servant. He loses all of his children. His sons and daughters were feasting in their older brother's house, and a great wind from the wilderness comes and smites the four corners of the house, and it falls upon them and they die. And it's just, what can you say? Who has words for this? Who could even imagine what this must feel like? I don't know anyone who's ever suffered this much loss. And you just see the different, it's also interesting, the different tools that Satan decides to use to take away Job's possessions. He uses armies. He uses different groups of people He moves them against Job's property. He uses fire from God. Fire from heaven comes and consumes the sheep. He uses the wind. And it's just, sometimes it seems like environmental things are happening. Sometimes it seems like the other people, groups of people are against us. But we know that it was allowed by God to happen. And Satan used what he had available to him to take these things away from Job. And then the response from Job is incredible. This is something, he rises up, he rends his mantle, he tears his garment, he shaves his head, and he falls down on the ground. That is what everyone else, that's, you would say, okay, that makes sense. But then it says, and he worshipped. And he worshipped. That's something that is incredible to think that the act of renting the garment is in Scripture is extreme stress, extreme circumstances. They're overcome with emotion, with grief, and so they tear their garment. He shaves his head, and he falls down on the ground. There's been situations in my life where I got news and you react in this way. You fall to the ground. You can't. But what happens is he worships the Lord. And he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you lose someone or you lose something, is this your first thought? It took me a long time to be able to get to that place. And this is Job's first reaction. How spiritual, how godly a response is this, that God, I don't deserve anything. You were good enough to bless me with the good, and you were seeing fit to give me the evil, and I will take it all from your hand. And I came with nothing, and I'm going to leave with nothing. And you give and you take, and I can only bless your name. That's the response we should have in these circumstances. So challenging. It's so challenging. And then in all of this, Job sinned not, nor ascribed anything unseemly to God. So Job, Satan doesn't get a victory here. And then there's another occasion in heaven, and we see that Jehovah, the Lord, says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and abstains from evil? And then, so it's the same, he has the same report as he did before the circumstance, but more. And still, he remains firm in his integrity, though you moved me against him to swallow him up without a cause. So Job even has a better view in heaven. His estimation is better. His assessment is better. And then Satan's response is skin for skin. Everything that a man has, he'll give to save his life. It really didn't prove anything. You have to touch himself. You have to touch his bone and his flesh and actually touch him. And then see if he won't curse you to your face. How evil our enemy is. How much he hates us. How much he hates God and God's people. You see, he says, put forth your hand. And then the Lord says, you can touch him, but spare his life. So Satan will put the worst possible physical suffering he can on Job, but that will allow him to live. And you see the condition sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. There was no position that he could sit or lie or stand on without pain. He has to be in pain, and he has to take a broken shard from a pot and scrape the sores off of himself. Can you imagine the physical suffering that would be? And it's his wife sees this, and She's been, up until this point, she's endured the same amount of suffering that he has. And she sees what he's going through, and she says, what's the point? What is the point? Why don't you just give up, curse God, and just give up and die? And sometimes when you go through intense suffering, you wonder, what's the point? Is this worth it? Is this worth it to keep trusting the Lord after this? Is it worth it? And Job, to his credit, he doesn't call his wife foolish. He doesn't call her a foolish woman. He says, you're talking like one of the foolish women would talk. And I think that's very also instructive in how he corrects her. He doesn't call her a fool. He doesn't call her foolish. He says, you're not talking the right way. He says, we receive good from God. Should we not also take the evil? God is in control. He gave us good. We're willing to take that. It's so interesting. We're willing to take any good that will come our way. But when it comes to taking something bad or to having to deal with something bad, we'll take the blessing from God all day. All day, every day. If God wants to bless me, I will let that happen. But if anything bad, I don't know. And it's that attitude. We just always want good. And it's the human nature to only ever want what's good. And yeah, bad things don't feel good. They're terrible. They're painful. But we need to realize who God is and who we are. And that if he's seeing fit to give us something that's difficult, something that's hard, we need to trust him for it. And so in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. So again, Satan does not get the victory. Satan said, Job will curse you to your face. Did not happen. So Satan here, don't see him anymore. So as far as Satan is concerned, Job did not fail. But God saw something in him. God saw something in Job that he needed to address. And so he allowed these things to happen. He allowed his children, he allowed his property, he allowed his physical body to suffer in order that he could expose something in the heart of Job, in the heart of his servant. and we're going to see that as we go forward. But then we have these three friends that the Lord allows to come to Job to also help bring out what needs to be brought out. And it's these three friends, the Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And this what they do here in chapter 2 is the best thing they could have done. They come, they see him, and they're overcome. It's like they don't even recognize him, how he's changed, what has happened to this man. And they tear their mantles too. They show that same sort of response. They throw dust on their heads, and they just sit with him quietly for 7 days and seven nights. Words are very cheap. When you lose someone or you're going through grief and people come and they share words with you, sometimes the things they say, it's like they have no idea. And you have no idea. And the best thing sometimes when someone is suffering, grieving, and going through difficulty is just to sit there quietly with them. You don't necessarily have to say anything. It's just being there for them. And that's a lesson too for us. Because when they start speaking, they get into trouble. And that's sometimes, we learn that in James too. So often our mouths, what comes out, is not always the best. So we really need to be careful. And especially in a situation like this, we really need to have wisdom and to really just be trusting the Lord. And in times like this, to just sit quietly with someone who's suffering can be very helpful. They sat for 7 days and seven nights with him. They didn't say anything. And so that's the challenge. And a lot of the stuff they said were true statements, but not true concerning Job. And sometimes that happens. We say true things. We say things that are true, but they weren't the right place and the right time. They did not apply to Job. And so we need to be careful when we open our mouths sometimes, to especially when we're talking to someone who's suffering. But the encouragement is that through all of this, really the lesson is that last chapter in James where he mentions Job. He says, you have heard of the patience of Job, and seen that the end of the Lord, that the Lord is full of tender compassion and pitiful. So that's what we need to have in mind when we're studying the book of Job, that the Lord is full of pity and compassion, and that we're going to see that as we go through. But this is, Job is coming to this point where he's going to just regret even the day that he was born. He's going to wish he was never born. He's going to wish he died at birth. He's so grieving, and he can't handle what's going on anymore. And he's just so upset with the circumstances. But may we just look at these first few chapters today and just take away that everything that God has given to us, our cars, our homes, our clothes, our families, our health, is all a gift from the Lord. And that if he gives it to us, we'll bless his name. And if he takes it away from us, we will bless his name. May we just close in a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you are so compassionate and full of pity. We're thankful that we know that you are in control of every circumstance, the good and the bad. We're thankful that we can trust you regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what's happening in our lives. And we're thankful that we can depend on you. We pray that you would help us to trust you, not only in the good times, but also in the bad times, to trust you and depend on you, and to really know that you are in control. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the lessons we see in it. We thank you for these men and the lessons we can learn from them. We just would commit ourselves into your hands today. We just pray that you would watch over us and bless the rest of this day, and commit ourselves for this week into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.